So help me, if you turn me into a fucking vampire, I'll bite your dick off. Welcome to the Fangover Podcast, where we romance all things that go bump in the night. I'm Francesca from Under the Covers Book Blog, and I'm joined by...
Is it me?
Yes. Yes.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm Stephanie from Ideally Inspired Reviews.
I'm Suzanne from Under the Covers Book Blog.
So today we are discussing Fighting Destiny by Amelia Hutchins. This is the book that I had chosen for us to read. And I'm going to tell you guys, it's going to be a controversial episode because we have a lot of thoughts to share about this book. This is the first book in the Fae Chronicles series, and it is marketed as an erotic romance, paranormal romance. So first thing I want to talk about is, how do we generally feel about books that revolve around the Fae, especially when it comes to romance? So for me, in general, I'm not the biggest fan of the Fae, and I feel like I usually struggle with them, whether it's in romance or urban fantasy. They're not my go-to species to read about. And I think that for me, it's because of all the duplicity that revolves around them and how they're sexualized, and basically you can never trust them. So I think a lot of that is always in the back of my mind, and it depends really on the author and how they handle it, but it usually doesn't work that well for me. How about you, Stephanie?
So for me, I am a huge fan of Fae lore. I love the Fae / elves ever since I read Lord of the Rings as a youngster. And so I think that that's where my fascination came in with it. I do like seeing author interpretation of Fae lore. I don't always love an erotic spin on it, but I do think that the Fae in general, I'm very fascinated by, just because there are so many directions that you can go in plot-wise and character-wise with them. Of course, they're known to be cunning and all of these things, but a couple of authors that I really love who write the Fae or about the Fae, of course, are Sarah Maas and Laura Thalassa. But I think if you're coming into it, though, not having much experience with the Fae or Fae books, that this one is interesting. What about you, Suzanne?
I mean, if we're talking elves, as in Tolkien-style elves, then I like them. And I've read a lot of them in, I guess, in fantasy, not so much like in romance. But I think elves come from a different lore than, like, the Fae, and if we're talking about Fae, then it isn't something that I read a lot of, especially in like adult books. I've probably only read really a few books, and it's because I have some issues with them, like quite close to like what Francesca said. They're often portrayed as like sociopaths, so I mean they're like beautiful monsters basically, and it's interesting in the sense of it can make an interesting character, but as like a hero to a love story, often that's where the difficulty for me comes into it. I would rather my heroes were like monstrous on the outside, but were different. The dichotomy was like the other way around, rather than looking beautiful but actually being a very, very terrible person. So that's normally where my issues with the Fae come from. So as a protagonist in like a more of an urban fantasy style book, I'm okay with it, but as the hero or heroine of a romance, like that's when I encounter issues.
Definitely. So in this book in particular, there's, let's call it, a rapey feel to how they're sexualized, because they basically have this ability to turn other beings into a Fae-induced zombie and basically make them do whatever they want. And I feel like this book really borders that line where it can feel rapey. So how did you all feel about this particular point that this story went in? Because I have to say, at the beginning, I was quite uncomfortable when it was happening. And then I feel like the more it keeps happening, you kind of like take it for how they are. Not that it becomes okay, but it just becomes how the Fae are portrayed in this particular world. And I think the author did take it a little bit too far, especially towards the end, which, you know, once we get into the discussion of more sexy times, maybe I'll talk a little bit more about that. But definitely it's something that for me, it felt uncomfortable to read about. So what did you think about that, Stephanie?
I, to be perfectly honest, I feel like I was more confused by it than anything, only because I felt as if the reason that we as the reader were given that that this particular kind of fae were this way is mainly because they're feeding in like a way, like it's almost like succubus like, and right. And I think that was what was so difficult for me to not accept it, but to feel like it read genuine. I don't know. Like, it just, it's not that I did not have a serious issue with it, because at the end of the day, like, it, what, like, they, there wasn't any rape, just so everybody
right.
knows.
Right.
And of course, like, some of the actions were rapey, as you said, Francesca, but I think that for me, the Fae almost were succubus-like.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really difficult to kind of, like, get on board with these Fae, because I'm like, wait, are you Fae or are you succubi? Like, I'm very confused by this.
Right.
And then, of course, like, there were a bunch of other things that I also questioned, but I felt like the discussion of their feeding and the act of their feeding sexually almost seemed gratuitous in a way, just because of how often it's mentioned. Like, mm-hmm. it is, like, frequently, like, it's like, okay, as the reader, we know that they're going to feed. Like, you can just say, I need to feed, and we don't need, like, a dissertation about, like, how you're going to feed. but that, yeah, I have some strong feelings about it, but not for the reasons that I think most people would. it's mainly more like, push my glasses up. Let me, you know, open up Wikipedia real quick, because hold on a second, I'm confused. but I feel like, again, with Fae lore, they're known to be very persuasive, very sexual, sexually fluid beings, especially. But I couldn't get with it in this book, I don't think. What about you, Suzanne?
Well, full disclosure, I got so angry with this book that I couldn't read past 13%. My blood pressure could not take it, because you're right, up to 13% there was no rape, but there was sexual assault. Basically what it was. Oh my god, I was angry. Mm-hmm. I was so angry reading this book. It just felt also unnecessary, and I'm like, so this is the hero that I'm supposed to be liking, because he can't come back for me from the stuff that happened in first 13% of the book. So I did not enjoy it. I didn't like it, and it's something that is just kind of an instant DNF for me. So yeah, me and like anti-heroes and dark and like dark romance, although like I don't understand why sexual assault's okay in dark romance either, but I just did not like it at all. Like, it made me so angry. I'm angry talking about the more I talk about it. Like, I'm just getting more, like, enraged. It was just, like, so unnecessary. And I just didn't like it. I just didn't understand, like... And also, it made me think, because if that's how the lore of the Fae in this series, that's how they feed, then just in reaction... Like, humans are going to have to zealously hate the Fae, and, like, zealots are never fun to read about. And it's just, like, that no one comes off well then, because, of course, humans are going to react to basically turn into, like, sexual slaves, which seems the right thing, but it's still, like, an ugly thing to read about. So I didn't like it on any level.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, well, and you know what, I can see what you mean, and I think I think that it's different, and I won't speak on Francesca, but for me, I don't take as much issue with it when we're in a setting like this, where it's, you know, we've got magical elements, creatures, beings, etc. And again, having read other books with Fae, I've grown accustomed to the way that they are written. And so I'm not necessarily willing to forgive, but I can accept that it's in the text. And, you know, it won't give me pause to the point where I would want to not read it or that I would feel uncomfortable. But I agree with you, Suzanne, in the sense of, like, if this had been a contemporary dark or romantic suspense or even erotic romantic suspense of some sort, I would have been completely done with the way that the hero, air quotes, was introduced and behaved early on in the book. So I can totally see where you're coming from. But also, I guess, as somebody who, like, avidly reads about the Fae and stuff, like, it just didn't. That wasn't what did it for me.
Because it indicates a pattern of behavior as well. So he's done it to the heroine, but that's just the latest. So it's a pattern of behavior that he's done in the past. I don't know if they ever talk about it. And that was also unacceptable.
It is, I think, a little bit glossed over that it is his normal behavior. But for me, it's the same, like with you, Stephanie. I can accept it in this type of context where it's paranormal, because you are talking about, especially also a character that has been living for who knows how long, because I don't think we got to the point where we really know exactly what he is or how old he is or anything. So that's also, like, in the back of my mind. So a lot of those ways that he's been living for probably thousands of years are still there, and they've been a part of who the Fae are. So I don't judge it as much or as strongly as if it was a contemporary romance, for example, or even a historical romance. I would probably judge it differently. So it just made me uncomfortable how much it was referenced. Like you said, yeah, Stephanie, it was, like, in your face constantly, all the time. It's in her past, it's in her future, it's talked about all the time. So it was just a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, because again, at that point, we as the reader already understand or grasp the concept or have a knowledge of what the feeding portion entails with the Fae. So it isn't necessary for us to get a full, you know, verbal or written explanation every single time, because if anything, it made it worse. Like, I feel like it made it more severe because they were constantly talking. I mean, that would be the same thing with, like, a vampire book where they're constantly saying, "I feed by sucking blood," and you're like, okay, but you're a vampire, we get it, bro. Like, that's how you survive. Like, right, exactly. Yeah. Like, let's talk about something else now. Like, I don't need to be constantly reminded that you live off of blood. Like, okay, cool.
Yes.
So yes. Yeah, yes. I think that was a major turn off for me as a reader, especially somebody who is fondly who has a fond I don't know, not
a
memory,
fondness for the Fae.
A fondness for the Fae, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just...
Well, I feel it also makes you feel as a reader, like, does the author think that we're not capable of understanding enough? Like, you told me once, I get it. I can move on to your next point you're trying to make in the story. I don't need to be, like, you don't need to repeat this so many times because you don't think I can get it. So
yeah, well, and I wonder also, too, if the author mentioning it like that every time was her intent was to I guess make it less rapey, if anything. So
how,
like,
could
just
that
to,
make,
like,
it less rapey?
I mean to say if let's say, for example, the hero who or hero lord the anti-hero who, you know, is feeding sexually and he's about to feed from somebody who may not normally fully consent, if on the page he is verbally saying, like, I am doing this because I need to feed, or, you know, like, this is my intent behind it, then it doesn't, I guess, for some people it may feel like that's a way of him saying, I'm not intentionally doing this to rape you because I want this from you. It's I need to feed type of thing.
I mean, I guess so. The fact that it's like a biological imperative for the Fae to survive is like an interesting concept. But to try and make it spin it into something erotic, it just like that doesn't.
Like
if he was a character in an urban fantasy or like something that wasn't romance based, it would be interesting. But trying to paint him as a romance lead, whether he's an anti-hero or a hero, that's what doesn't work for me, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I just can't. I get that you need to do it to survive, and that's kind of interesting because it like raises that moral dilemma.
Right.
But you just don't. It just doesn't work in any other way.
No, I totally get it. I think that it's definitely something to be discussed about this particular book. And I mean, Francesca and we did finish it. And I will say that I don't know if where you stopped reading Suzanne or not, like there was a contract that was drawn up between the hero and heroine. So to some extent, there was a level of consent from then on, because it was within the contract
that is
he would
contract,
feed from her. And so she had to accept that in order to, you know, for the contract to be valid. So at least there is that from that point on.
But how much choice did she have? Was she coerced? It seems like she would have been, from what I got to, she would have been semi-coerced into that contract.
I think it was a mutually beneficial contract, to be honest. And, I mean, it wasn't, like, the best of terms, but she benefited from it as much as he did. And, again, he didn't make it in a way that I'm going to have sex with you and I'm, you know, that it's just sex or whatever. It was just like, if I need to feed and we're somewhere where I don't have access to anyone else, I'm going to feed from you type of thing. So I don't feel like, I mean, I do feel like that was one quasi redeeming factor in pertaining to this subject. But
I mean, just to clarify, they feed from emotions, not from sex. So it doesn't have
True.
To be sexual. It could be any kind of emotion. Like, just True. To clarify that.
Okay, so now let's talk about the characters a little bit. Because now Suzanne can really tell us all about her hate for the character. So I actually didn't have, like, a major dislike for the heroine. But what I didn't understand is how she's portrayed as this, like, top of the line witch from the guild. So she's supposed to be like this really kick-ass capable witch, and I feel like a lot of times her actions were completely different from that description, because she came across to me as really naive, and I don't want to say stupid, but a little bit. Is there a nice way to say stupid? But she was just very naive. Yeah, naive and clueless. So, and to me, like, if you're describing her as like the it person in the guild, you know, how does that relate to her actions, which were not that? So that was my issue with her. But other than that, I didn't have a problem with her as a character. And I think that she does have the potential for growth in the series, because we're starting off at a point where she does need to learn a lot of things. And at least I saw her as somebody that comes from a place of loyalty for the people she cares about, like her friends and her people in the guild or whatever. So she's willing to sacrifice and do things that maybe go against what she would normally do in order to keep people she loves safe. So that point I liked about her. And now with him, obviously, I agree with the point that we should say he's a true anti-hero. I don't think that, to me, in this book, he was not written to be a likable hero. I don't know that, well, at least for me, he's not like the hero that I would be swooning over. And I do like my jerks, and I don't have a problem with having a hero that does bad things. So for me, a hero doesn't have to be good. Like, I can read about, even sometimes in contemporary romance, I'm okay with reading about a killer and somebody that's ruthless. And I have read and accepted, not like love, but accepted some heroes, even in contemporary romance, where there are some lines where maybe it could have been borderline, did he or did he not force the heroine? So I guess for me, that point of him being an anti-hero is not the make it or break it. But I reserve judgment because this book does end on a cliffhanger and it's not a resolved HEA. So I should mention that I thought it was going to be, and I'm not sure how I feel about the fact that we don't get a full thing. But maybe he has the potential of redeeming some parts of him. I don't know that he would ever be somebody that I love, but maybe he could be a little bit redeemed, or he could turn into Barons and I would totally hate him. So it can go either way.
Send all hate mail to Francesca.
How about you, Stephanie?
Well, I don't know if you guys can hear the paper, but I have 2 pages of notes about this particular topic. A couple of the things that I won't go to, like, I'm really not going to bore everybody, because especially if they haven't read it, but some of the things that I had written, Francesca actually already touched on. But I will say, let me start with the positives, I guess. Something that intrigued me character-wise, that which I always love when reading fantasy or paranormal urban fantasy, is the difference, or like the interpretation of witch culture and or, you know, normal fantasy, fantastical creatures or beings. I always love seeing how the author will interpret certain things that we know to be true about these beings, and then kind of putting their own twist to it. I will say that I found a lot of similarities to certain things in other series that I have read, and again I'm not saying like it's a copy or anything like that. It's bound to happen when you're writing about the same kind of creatures. But I would say, like, for example, she talks about the Fade, going into the Fade after they die and that kind of thing. And of course, that reminds me of Black Dagger Brotherhood, and a few other things, which I didn't mind at all. Because again, I like to see a different take on things. It's refreshing to get a different take. Now, as far as the heroine goes, I've got a lot to unpack. So I feel, like Francesca said, I feel like she was a very inconsistent character in a way. Okay, let me get to that, because honestly, that's just going to be... All right. So here are my points that I had about Sin, the heroine of this book. She's always, so three always is working to be a martyr, it seems. And I feel like, Francesca, you were so much nicer about it. And I guess because it didn't bother you at all. But like, yes, I love a character who is willing to go, you know, lay their life down for the ones that they love, their friends, their family, etc. And sometimes just people who they don't know. Like selfless acts. I'm always okay with these kinds of things. But I don't know if this was a pacing thing or a length, like the amount, like how long the book was, that there were so many instances of this that it almost was like, okay, I get it. Like, you're willing to die. Okay, cool. Like, I get it. You're gonna kill yourself to stop this bomb from going off. I get it. Like, you know, like, thank you for that. Thank you for your service. But girl, please chill for like 5 fucking seconds. Like, I feel like there was one instance where she legitimately like stopped 2 or 3 death attempts, or like, you know, murder attempts or something on her friends, and like completely drained herself and was practically a walking corpse. But then she was like willing to go back in, and I'm just like, girl, like, take a nap and then come back. Like, once you're refreshed, like, this is absolutely unnecessary. So the other thing that I took issue with is that she went from being near virginal, borderline prudish, to becoming this wanton sex goddess that had nothing to do with fae persuasion or anything, because of course this is first person from her point of view, so we are in her head, we know what's going on. I hate that, not just in this book, I mean in general when I read that, just because I feel like you can't have both. Like, you can't have this, like, small town girl, and that's not who Sin is, but, like, you can't have, like, a small town girl who, like, doesn't know any slang terms for, like, bedroom talk, and then the very first time that she's with the hero is, like, throwing out some porn star terms. Like, I have a hard time with that. That also...
She could have done some research.
Listen.
She didn't have time for that.
She didn't have time. She spent 30% of this book unconscious from all of the times that she tried to save her friends and almost died. So I just take issue with this. I just have so many concerns.
Like, she could have had Pornhub running in the background as she was unconscious. Like,
I'm pretty certain.
Taking it in.
I'm pretty certain that she didn't have time for this. Like, she can't focus on three things at once. Or maybe she can. You know what? She's a witch. Whatever. So, so that was my top main concerns issues with her. But I would say, like I said, I feel like to some extent she was like a damsel in distress. Almost at some point, and even though like she was like a strong enough being in of herself, where it's mentioned throughout the book that she is almost like one of her kind, like one of a kind, with her abilities and that kind of thing. But for somebody who is this way, it's like, girl, like, she's constantly telling people to run, like, save yourself and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, just stop at this point after seven times, like, whatever. Whew. Okay, so, Ryder. It is like, I have a very brief thing about him. I said, and I will read my notes word for word, Ryder was the epitome of the anti-hero that I love and hate. But it didn't bother me too much. Period. That was all I wrote about him. That was all I wrote about him. But I will say that I think he was very much not a character that I like in any capacity in the first 15 to 20%, for sure. And I was just like I was open-minded about it, because I'm like, clearly he's going to have to do something or behave a certain kind of way for the rest of this book to redeem himself in some capacity, or to make me as the reader like him. So, and I feel like he did, sort of. So maybe not for Suzanne.
A little bit. No, I mean, I think he did a little bit. I think he has more to go to be redeemed, but I think it was a good representation of an anti-hero.
Oh, for sure.
Suzanne.
Yeah, Suzanne, what you got to say?
Well, as you know, I didn't get past 13%, but I didn't like the heroine either. If that, like, it wasn't just like the hero that made me turn it off. So you kind of covered a lot of it, like the inconsistency thing that you said is interesting, that it goes throughout the whole book. So in the first part, you've got her bragging about what an amazing enforcer / assassin she is. And then she spends the rest of the book crying about having to kill someone. And I'm like,
yes,
what are you?
What were you doing the whole time?
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ. Because literally one sentence she was like, why are you only using me for this? I'm such an amazing assassin. And then the next sentence she's like, oh no, I killed this person. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, how does she get anything done?
Right. So no Pornhub.
Yeah.
There is no way. She's either concerned about the people she's killed or concerned about not getting people killed. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She definitely, like, wasn't my favorite. And I'm not a fan of the kind of heroine trope where she's like, I'm super special and have something in my past that makes me different from all the other girls, which is what she was. And I just hate it so much. And that is kind of what she is. And I realize, another plug, by the way, that Kate Daniels is kind of...
Oh, God.
I realize that she is she is kind of that character, kind of. But, like, it's a perfect book, so it doesn't bother me. But, but I mean, it bothers me, but it never bothers me enough to, like, stop reading a book. But that, like, trope combined with how, like, stupidly inconsistent she was, I was like, I don't like Hugh either. I mean, I don't like the male protagonist because he's, like, a rape superstar. And I don't like the heroine because she just annoys the shit out of me. So I think I will not continue. Yeah, so this, like, this book annoyed me on all levels.
It's so funny because you got a little snapshot of the book by only reading the first 13%, but it seems as if your views, though, are pretty on point with...
Consistent, yes, yeah, with the rest. So.
The book was consistently bad from 1% to 100%. For me, anyway, so...
So the next question is obviously not for Suzanne, because I don't think this part was in the first 13%, but this book is mainly told in Sin's point of view. And the author chose to add some really small glimpses from writer's point of view sporadically throughout. Did you think that that was necessary? Did it add anything for you to the story? Would you have rather she didn't include it and go straight for just her point of view? I actually would have preferred if she didn't include his point of view. However, I think that what his point of view managed to do was show you, like, reinforce, and I think forcibly a little bit too much, the fact that he is that anti-hero, because everything that she showed when she went to his point of view was how he wanted to use her or anything that had to do with sex. Literally, that was it. That's what you were getting from his point of view. In a way, it made me interested about his character, just because, again, I like that aspect of a hero, but I don't think it was necessary, because we got that point really well without going in his head. So what did you think about that, Stephanie?
I agree with what you said, for sure. I think that if she, the author, her intent story-wise, was for us to get a glimpse of what was in his mind or his thought process, etc., I think then maybe having the book be third person may have suited that purpose a little bit better, in my opinion. Because I agree with you. I think that his point of view chapters did him no favors as far as getting the reader to get on board with him as a potential redeemable hero. I get that men and some women think about sex all the time and how they want to have sex with people all the time or with themselves, whatever, no judgment. But I took issue with it in this book only because this is the first of a series. So I, as the reader, want to spend this book getting to know this world more than getting to know the fact that the hero wants to get in the heroine's pants. So, I mean, and it was almost eye roll inducing to an extent. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be Suzanne. I'm going to totally skip over some of these sex scenes because I almost got to the point where I didn't even care. Like, I didn't even want them to have sex. Like, it was just, and then a lot of the time, and mind you, even though we're talking about the sex content of this book, it doesn't happen a lot in the book itself. It's just a lot of, like, you know, sex talk, really, more than anything else. And it's just gratuitous, in my opinion.
Her panties constantly wet.
Oh my gosh.
She should just stop wearing them. Like, Lord, it's unhygienic.
We should have legitimately, like, counted how many times my cock and womb and like, just insert other sexual language here, was mentioned, but almost like it's like, sentence after sentence after sentence, like, that's in a chat, like, I'm not in a chapter, in a paragraph, like, the word cock is in there, like, 17 times. Like, okay. Like, shit. And there was also, I'm gonna have to go back and find it, and we'll talk about it, obviously, not on camera, if you will, whatever, not on mic, off the record. But there was a term that was used for, like, her vagina, that just every time she said it or it was on the page, I, like, gagged. And I can't remember. Like, I'm going to have to look at my Kindle to see. But anyways, sorry, that has nothing to do with point of view. I'm just saying.
Well, actually, that is my next question, because okay. I wanted to talk about the sex and the steam. The thing that I find interesting about this book is the fact that everybody that has talked about this book talks about how erotic it is and how sexy and steamy it is. And while I was reading it, I was like, well, is there something wrong with me? Because I don't find this book erotic in any way, shape, or form. I feel like the author was being really gratuitous, like you were saying, with sex talk and sex thinking. And there was a lot of sex from the very beginning, not actual sex, but talk of sex. But then nothing happens, and every time it's mentioned, it's more in the terms of, like, the feeding and all of that. So it never got to a point where I felt like this book was erotic. And then we get to the actual sex scene. So where they finally, okay, finally they're going to have sex. At that point, I was kind of over it. So, like, I didn't really have, I wasn't invested in the fact that they were going to have sex. And it was just, it really irked me also, like, what led up to it and how, because that was another thing that the hero does, which Suzanne would have hated. And I'm not going to say what happens because I feel like it would be a little spoilery, but the lead up to the sex scene was annoying and probably something that would not endear the hero to anybody else. It's not consent. It was consensual. Like, when it happens, but leading up to it, it was annoying. But yeah, for me, it was not erotic. And that gets me thinking, what makes a book erotic? Because obviously, different people have different feelings about this. As you know, people have said this is erotic. For me, it wasn't. So I would love to know both of your opinion on this. And obviously, Suzanne, I don't know if you really can talk about this theme of this particular book, but how about what would make a book erotic for you? Stephanie?
I would say a book that I would categorize as erotic would be a book that actually has penetration throughout.
Step one.
Right? Like, and again, this can cover all manner of sexual orientation here. I'm just saying, like, just dirty talk is not erotic romance or erotic anything, in my opinion, because you can get that same line of the same terms that you're reading about on a schoolyard, like, you know, like a playground, like, with elementary schoolers, unfortunately. I know that a lot of parents might cringe at that, but, like, it's true. I mean, I feel like the first time I heard some of these words, I was, like, fourth or fifth grade. Like, whatever. So that's my opinion as far as erotic classification goes. And I do think that in this book, as you said, Francesca, this wasn't very erotic, in my opinion. And the fact that there was so much on the page terminology, it was almost like a thesaurus of sexual terms, so it didn't do anything for me in any capacity as far as that goes. And then like, by the time they do that, there is penetration, it was almost like, because, like, who cares? But yeah, Suzanne.
And the scene was so long, it went on my
remember when his penis grew again? He had, oh, like, a God. Double erection. Remember that? I was like, what is this? What is this? We've never had any discussion. As much dick talk we've had in this book, we have never once talked about how your penis can grow again. Like, I'm sorry. That should have been mentioned. Maybe I might have been more interested or invested in you guys having sex if I had known that. And now I don't even care. And then he talks about like how it grew, and then it's like kissing her womb. That is not something that is sexy. At all. Side note, I've had an IUD inserted, and that goes in your womb ish.
That kisses your womb.
Yes. And I almost threw up because of how painful it was. I can only imagine if I did that with someone. And I'm like, okay, this is nice. And then all of a sudden, it's kissing your womb. I probably
knocking your IUD out.
Right? Well, I can't. I'm sorry. And especially now that I've felt it, I'm like, every time I read it, I just cringe because I'm like, no, that's not sexy at all. Like, if anything, like if I had an erection, my erection would deflate reading that. Like, that just gross. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Suzanne?
So for the 13% I read, it was, despite all, like you said, the sexual language and like what was happening, because it was sexual assault, like it just wasn't, like it took away anything. It just disgusted me more than like anything else. In terms of like erotic romance, so for me, like technically erotic romance is a book where the movie when the story and the characters are developed through their sexuality. But like for what makes things erotic for me, it's got to engage like my emotions, as well as just being his really massive cock and kissed my womb. Like that's not like sexy. There's got to be some connection, like more than just like physical for me to be like really erotic, rather than like how explicit it is, if that makes sense. So yeah, I mean, for this one, obviously for me, it was like it was horrible. But like this, as in like the sex didn't count because it wasn't consensual. But yeah, so in general, like for me to find something erotic, there has to be some kind of connection between like the two characters. And it's also really great when that's like built up, not necessarily in an explicit way like this book is, but just you can just tell that there's tension in the room through the craft of the author. And I don't think this book wasn't written very well. Literally some of it made no sense. Like when you read some of the stuff, it literally, like the sentence had no meaning. It just didn't have enough craft to really make it that erotic. So bleh.
I will say what you're saying, Suzanne, when you said, oh, you need to feel the connection. I was like, wow, that's such a double entendre. Like, the connection that I care about is the P and the V, or the P and the B, whatever. Like, again, sexual orientation. But I
guess
think
both.
Right. True. Hey, double penetration is fine, too. Like, I think that that's interesting that that's your interpretation, because I feel like I want that out of a standard romance. Like, I want the build up there. But when it's erotic, like, I'm expecting y'all to just be banging the whole book. Like, if you are going to categorize a book as erotic, anything erotica, erotic romance, like, yes, there has to be a purpose. Yes. But, like, I feel like I want you banging more than talking about banging in this book.
Yeah. So, I guess it's about what I find erotic.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, I have two definitions, because what you just said, Stephanie, I feel like erotic romance for me is one thing and erotica is something else. So like erotica, I don't care about the connection. I don't care about, really, doesn't even have to have that much of a story. I want the banging the whole time.
It could be like four pages. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
That's fine. Get it? That's fine. I don't need anything else. I'm here just for that. But with erotic romance, it does have to have a little bit more of a connection. It has to have, like, it can't just be them banging all the time. Now, what's interesting is, for me, it can be, I don't know that I would classify something as erotic romance, even though it's really explicit and it has the connection, if there aren't enough scenes. So I think also the amount of scenes has a play for me where, because there can be some really steamy contemporary romances mm-hmm. or paranormal romances, like, I don't know, Immortals After Dark comes to mind. Sometimes they have a lot of sex scenes and they are quite descriptive and quite steamy. And I don't know that I would classify that as erotic paranormal. So it's a fine line between the amount of scenes, the connection, the descriptiveness.
Yeah, I mean, in the definition of like an erotic novel, regardless of the like subgenre. So like, I wouldn't say Immortals After Dark is erotic because the story isn't usually, well, it is kind of about the sex, but there's also other stuff going on, which is kind of as important as well. But I don't read much erotic romance because I find too many sex scenes quite boring.
Yeah, you skim them.
But I do want like a few, like, well, like one or two sex scenes in a book to like have an erotic feel, if that makes sense. But I just don't want to read like loads of them.
Well, I think also, yeah, it's sometimes it's just the terms too. Like, it just can be explicitly written as opposed to an abundance of sex scenes. So like, it just could be a lot more sex on the page instead of like some fade to black a little bit, or, you know, leave some things up to interpretation or whatever. So yeah, sex.
Sex. Which segues into the three words that you use to describe this book. So I have magic, suspense, and sex. And when I say sex, I mean sex talk. I probably could have used any of the words that the author used, just because it's so repetitive in part of the book that it just has to be mentioned. How about you, Stephanie?
So I only have, all of my words are hyphenated, so it's gonna seem like I'm saying more than three words. The first one is over the top. The second one was gratuitous, so that is one word. And the third one was action-packed.
So mine are also hyphenated. So the first one is made me rage. The second one is bad writing.
Oh, and my God.
Please. And then, like... oh, my God. I can't find my third word.
DNF?
I can't remember. Oh, well, yeah, DNF. I remember now.
That one.
My third word was rapey.
Oh. But that might get some people to read it, so it's fine.
I mean, if I know a lot of people have enjoyed this book, and any book that somebody enjoys, I'm glad. I don't want to take other people's enjoyment away if they have enjoyed this, but I just couldn't deal with it. It like ticked every box that makes me angry, and it just was all thrown in the first 13%. So, like, if you enjoyed it, I'm not disparaging you, and I'm not disparaging the author either. Someone needed to edit that book for her, but I just can't deal with it. It was awful.
So what would you rate this book, and would you continue with the series? I was debating, because the way I rate my books, I should preface this by saying, I rate on my enjoyment of the story, and that doesn't mean that I have to like everything that happens in a book. If I had a good time reading it, I will usually rate it based on that. So for me, it sits somewhere around a 3.5. I was debating to go with a 4, but I just can't go there. So I'm going to go with a 3.5. Would I have rather this be a complete HEA, so I don't feel like I have to continue the series? Yes, but I would be interested to read one more book to see where it goes from here. So at some point, I would consider reading book 2. Stephanie?
I would rate this a 2.5. And, but I'm also a very harsh rater. Is that a critic? I don't know. It wasn't terrible. I finished it. I just, obviously, I had some issues or a lot of issues that made it difficult for me to rate it higher. I probably would have, I think, if maybe 10 to 15% of the book had not been in there. I think it just went on too long. But if I would continue the series, I probably wouldn't, but maybe I'll just read the synopsis of the extra books or some reviews for spoilers. Cause I'm interested enough to see where this goes, but I'm not interested enough to invest the time to read it. If that makes sense. Which is terrible.
I mean, Suzanne? obviously mine is like DNA.
We know Suzanne.
Yeah. So, I know. So, I mean, I've already expounded on that quite a lot. So I'll just leave it at DNF and no, I wouldn't continue the series.
So now, do you have any recommendations for people that would be similar to this book or, in Suzanne's case, something that takes this idea and does it better? So I actually have two, and one is going to be a recommendation if you are into the really sexualized fae, and it is Laurel K. Hamilton, the Mary Gentry series. I think that this series would probably be a good equivalent to this, and a series that I think would do the fae in a more interesting way that does have some action, some suspense, and I don't think is as gratuitous with the sexual chemistry and the sex and all of that, is the True Immortality series by Samantha Young. Stephanie, how about you?
That's a good one. I don't have any to compare this to in the sense of, like, if you like this, you'll like this. But I think if you are someone who enjoys reading about the fae, I love, of course, everything that Sarah writes. Most of Sarah J. Maas's books are fae, in the world of the fae, in addition to shifters and things like that. Another author that I like to recommend fae wise is Laura Thalassa. If you've read any of her other stuff, like the Pestilent series, oh my gosh, what is it? The Four Horsemen series. It's different from that. It is more of an urban fantasy. The first book especially takes place mainly, well, no, I would say like half and half in the fae and then half in this world. So, like, you still have a lot of, like, the common, like, general terms and terminology, speech, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't have, the world building isn't hard to follow. But there are fae. So, the Bargainer series by Laura Thalassa, I think, would be a good one.
So, I haven't, I was searching through and I don't actually really have anything that is comparable to this series, but I have the series that I really like that has fae as part of, like, the world and their important, like, aspect of, like, the story. I mean, there's the big one, which is, like, the Fever series by Cara Marie Moaning, which, although I don't like barons, I do like the series and the world, and I like the heroine in it as well. So although, like, barons really annoys me, the actual story is really great, and I really enjoy it, so I would recommend that. And the other one, which is probably my favourite one, is the Mercy Thompson series by Patricia Briggs, where although the main characters are mainly shifters, the fae become a really, really important part of the story in general, and they are, like, part of the, like, there's, like, a main crew of characters, and some of the fae are part of that. But they become really important protagonists in the story in general. And I like, with Briggs, I really like, the variation in different fae. So they're not, some of them are sexualized, some of them are not. And it's just, like, she takes a lot of the, like, fae mythology and packs it into the book. So there's always a lot of variation, and it's something that I've enjoyed. Both of those are urban fantasies with, like, a heavy, like, romance element in them, so but not erotic. So if it's the erotic aspect you like, then this won't like fulfill that.
Yeah, if you want the erotic, definitely read everything by Laurel K. Hamilton. There is so much sex in those books, it's ridiculous. So thanks for listening to us, guys. Next week, we are picking up our Night Huntress reread and discussion, and we're going to be talking about book 4, which is Destined for an Early Grave. And if you want to read with us in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be discussing Suzanne's book, or Suzanne's pick, which is our first sci-fi romance on this podcast, and it's Marken by Sadie Carter. Did I say that right, Suzanne? Yeah.
Well, so I think so. That's how I say it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that book is about?
So I was really keen to get these guys to read like an alien sci-fi romance because it's like my absolute favorite. But I didn't want to start them off in the deep end with some like heroes with tentacles or fur, which are the ones that are truly close to my heart. So I landed on Marken by Sadie Carter, which is an alien sci-fi series, but it's set on Earth. And our hero, our alien hero, basically resembles an angel with silver skin. And he's hiding out on Earth, and it's kind of like has a romantic comedy element in it as well, because he lives next door to our heroine, and he's like stretching his wings, and the heroine thinks he's just having really loud sex all the time, and it's just like, it's like a funny, sweet, like sci-fi alien romance where the aliens aren't too extreme, because I am easing these guys into it. Before they know it, they will be reading my Kraken heroes and my Scorpion heroes, and they will be loving it. That is my master plan.
So if you want to find us in the wild, you can find me at underthecoversbookblog.com. Don't forget to follow also The Fangover at thefangover.com and on Insta at thefangover.
Oh, and you can find me. Find me on Insta at Ideally Inspired Reviews.
And you can find me on Insta at Suzanne_UTC.
See you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.